Neil Martin, you are a motivational speaker and coach for primarily for letting and estate agents. You said recently that letting and estate agents are stuck in the 1990s. Talk to me.
Well, here's the thing, Chris, right? And I've actually, a few times when I've been speaking at events, I pull up a slide that says, basically, why do agents still communicate like it's 1998? Because you think about it, 1998 is the year that Google launched.
Yes.
And pre-Google, what was everyone doing? You know, signs on roundabouts, yellow pages, local newspapers, local radio, maybe even ads in the local cinema. You know, but it was very much a let's chuck something out and let's hope for the best, a bit of brand awareness and see what happens.
Bit of spray and pray, throw
exactly
at the wall.
Exactly that. That's not the world we live in anymore, right?
Okay, I agree.
But there are a lot of people who, even if they've embraced social media, they're using it the way they used to communicate on all those other platforms.
What, just bombard it and just chuck stuff out?
Yeah, exactly. Let's get a Facebook page and fill it with listings that nobody gives a damn about.
I agree.
Right? It doesn't make any sense at all. You know, if you want to embrace the way these new technologies and tools work, think about why do people use them? How are people using them? Understand the difference between kind of scroll and search. You know, if I go to YouTube or I go to Google, I'm looking for something specific. If I'm on Facebook, you've got to grab my attention. You know, it's understanding the right platform and tailoring, and I like to use the term remix. I mean, I've got a background in writing music and DJing and stuff like that. So I very much like to bring that to the table and go, okay, well, look, you know, if I'm just going to write a song these days, I'll make a version for the club, I'll make a version for the beach bar, I'll make it like maybe a festival version, an acoustic version, whatever. It's like all of those are different environments, different platforms or different audiences. Why are we, and I say we in a really royal sense, not doing the same thing when it comes to all these different social media platforms?
So basically what you're saying is you shouldn't post the same thing on Facebook as you would post on LinkedIn, as you post on Twitter.
At the very least, recognise the fact that people are in a different headspace when they get there, and they're probably different audiences. So it doesn't mean completely change it, but think about, you know, the headline you use might be different, for example, even if the video is the same.
Yes.
You know, or maybe you're using a different thumbnail to actually grab the attention in the first place just because of that different environment. You know, it's not like throw the baby out with the bathwater and have to create completely new pieces of content for everyone, but like what's the right version?
It's interesting. I help a lot of letting and estate agents talk about their local property market. And one of the things that I advocate they do is take photographs of road signs with the name of the town in it, and that doubles click-through rates. Because again, another thing that a lot of agents do is that they'll post the same thing in multiple groups all at the same time, and people go, well, it's the same post.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm bored of seeing it because I've seen it a whole bunch of times already.
But if you use a different image.
Absolutely, yeah. I think the other thing with that is use real images.
Yes.
Yeah, if you make like a fake road sign, locals know it's not real, right? So, you know, I live on the outskirts of Cheltenham in a little village. And every now and again, I see these adverts come up on Facebook that say, welcome to, and it's the name of my village, on like a road sign. Okay?
Yes.
That sign doesn't exist. So when I see those ads with the sign that doesn't exist, I think you don't really care about the village I live in.
You see, you'll be amazed how many times the name of the village or especially towns exist. Buses, trains.
Exactly.
If you walk down the high street with your mobile phone, you'll be amazed how many times your town exists. And if it is going to fake, why don't you use those apps like Word Swag, where you can actually just put a plain background and just put the word Cheltenham. God, everyone, all the gurus come from Cheltenham. Richard Rawlings comes from there, and Oliver from Lou.
I don't come from Cheltenham. I live there, and I've been there for, I think, 15, 16 years. But I'm originally from Southampton. So,
okay. Saints boy, eh?
Absolutely, yeah.
Good stuff. So what other tips have you got for agents who are stuck in the 1990s, what they can do to bring themselves up to, dare I say it, the 21st century?
I think there's a few things to look at on that, okay? The first one is get it, and this actually applies to all marketing, full stop, get really clear on who your ideal customer is.
Yes.
And I say customer, not customers. As in, you might have four or five different ideal customers, but each one, think of them as an individual. Because again, when I consume content, regardless of where it is, regardless of the format, you know, it could be a podcast, it could be a stage presentation, you know, a landlord seminar, something like that. It could be a video, it could be a written post, a blog. It doesn't really matter what it is, but when I consume it, I'm an individual.
Yes.
If you talk to me like I'm a crowd of people, I'm not interested. You know, we've had this whole thing of like, you know, we're in a knowledge economy and it's the knowledge age, right? My own belief is we're going beyond that and we're now into the age of the individual. And I think if you look at historically, people have gone, well, you know, one to many beats one to one, right? That's very much been the view of, okay, if I can do something one to one, I can only scale it so far.
Yes.
If I can go one to many, I can take that same thing and scale it much further. My own belief now is we want to go one step further than that and do what I would call one to one at scale.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically is one to many, but for the individual that's consuming it, it feels like it's just for them. And the key thing that that starts with is getting super clear on who you're trying to attract, and also make your marketing magnetic. Now, if we take two magnets and we put them next to each other, one of two things happens depending on which way round we put them. Mm-hmm. Either they're pulled together and they cling, or they repel apart. I'd actually encourage everyone to make messages that attract your ideal customer and push everybody else away.
Yes, because I think everyone, you know, landlords want it, but if you just say landlords of three-bedroom semis in Alphaville, you're more likely to attract people, aren't
you? Absolutely, yeah. You know, and
then next week you could do landlords wanted in Beaterville.
Yeah, but same thing, even if you're marketing for tenants, right? Because if you think about it, you know, if you're a letting agent, what do you need to have to get really good landlords, really good tenants?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're marketing for tenants, be specific about the kind of tenants you want. Be specific about the kind of tenants you don't want. You know, tell people that, you know, we're looking for this, we do not want this. You know, kind of need not apply.
So you're basically saying be very black and white and don't try and please all the people all the time.
100%.
That's quite brave, isn't it?
Well, is it? Is it? So this is, again, let me explain this the way I often explain it, right? There are three types of client. And actually, this applies to all people. So this could be staff in your business, okay?
Yes.
It applies everywhere, but let's look at it from the point of view of clients. There are three types of client, okay? There is what I call A clients, and A stands for avatar. As in, it is your ideal client. If you've got a piece of paper and said, this is exactly what I want a client to look like, you know, they're going to be fun to work with, they're going to spend a decent amount of money, yeah, that is my ideal client, right? A B client, B stands for beware. And beware basically means either they spend good money or they're great to work with, but not both. And your question then is, are they coachable to turn them into an A client? Because you think about it, how many times have we had clients in our businesses, right, where it's great when we see the money coming from them every month, but everyone in our office dreads answering the phone when it comes up with their number.
Mm.
Yeah, or, you know, or the kind of the rapport in the office and the atmosphere in the office goes down whenever anybody has to deal with them, right?
Yep.
You know, it's demotivational for the whole team because of one person's interaction. How much does that really cost you versus how much they're spending?
What you're almost saying, if you can't train your clients to be A-grade clients, don't have them.
Well, that takes me on to the C clients. And I want to say, what do you think C stands for, Chris? But I'm concerned as to what answer you might give me.
This is a family show.
Exactly,
so.
Right? But it basically stands for see you, as in see you later, as in I don't want to deal with you. And I think we have to be brave enough to go, you're the wrong client for me. You're going to drain my resources. You're not going to spend enough money. I actually don't want to deal with you.
Although, interestingly, I've seen that happen where, to some people, Cs can all of a sudden turn into As almost.
It's possible. It's possible. But
you're challenging them and saying, look, you're not for me. And then they try and prove.
And that's the point, right? If you make it so it's aspirational to work with you. I mean, maybe even A should be aspirational instead of avatar, right? You know, it's the clients that really want to work with you because they're the right
fit. You can have
fit.
That on offer. I'll let you have that.
I might. You know, thank you for that. But, you know, if you think about it, it's those clients that want to work with you and who qualify themselves on you rather than you having to sell yourself to them.
Exactly.
And if we go back to the use of social media, just as an example, one of the things I've been saying for a long time now is, to me, all social media is an amplifier for word of mouth. But what's the best type of business anyone can get?
Well, recommendation.
Exactly. Recommendation, word of mouth. So if you can use social media to make that word of mouth louder so you get more recommendation, mm-hmm. It basically means people pre-qualify themselves before they come to you.
Sure.
You get more of the right clients, and the wrong clients disqualify themselves and find the agent that's right for them. You know, and I know there'll be people watching this going, but I want all the business, right? But do you really, if you look at every client you've ever had, just ask yourself this question, have I ever had a client I wish I'd never met? And if the answer is yes, which it will be if you're being honest, then, you know, how do you build your marketing and your messaging and your kind of qualification processes in such a way that you get rid of those people who are wrong?
Maybe we can expand on this in the other videos that we're going to have today.
Absolutely. Look forward
to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris.